One thing that, like, I just want to bring up is the one, I think the major thing that we're thinking about here, and we're thinking about one small part of it, is, like, what kind of city do we want Auckland to be in the future? Mm-hmm. Or if we're looking at, you know, like, making it a city that's going to be sustainable into the future, like, energy-wise, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. If we're thinking about where do we want to, like, keep green areas for psychological health of the city, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, water drainage and stuff mm-hmm. like that. How do we want to think about that and mm-hmm. how that affects it? And also, like, where do we want to push Rockland culturally? Mm-hmm. Like, do we want to create a city, like, who are we appealing to? What type of interaction, what type of human interaction do we want to encourage? Mm-hmm. And how does that fit into the kind of city that Rockland is and the kind of city that we want Rockland to be?
Well, one of the things that comes to mind immediately is certainly, I think we'll all agree, walkable, mm-hmm. what it is yeah. now, particularly if you live, fortunate enough to live in Broadway mm-hmm. or Beach or
South End, close in. Downtown, it's all the less infrastructure you have to build
it's all
and
walkable.
Maintain.
Yeah.
And affordable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, keeping it walkable yeah. and affordable, yeah.
My only concern about the small houses yeah. is that I'd like to see the kind of small house that people can live in year round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If you look at that book, it's there, everything's on post.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the tumbleweed one or the little house of my own?
The tiny house.
Yeah.
All those plans are on.
Well, post. Just to clarify, we flipped over to houses, but we have accessory dwelling units, which mm-hmm. can be inside the primary house, attached to the primary house, or detached mm-hmm. from the primary house. We have small house units, which can be mm-hmm. cottages, beach houses, year-round houses, guest houses, Airbnbs, which is a big mm-hmm. concern. We'll have to address mm-hmm. that at some point. And then we have related but slightly different tiny houses on wheels, which, of course, have specifications as well. Or even tiny houses that are, they look like tiny houses on wheels, but they're not on wheels. That's the new code. It's very small on those. The ones on wheels, if they don't want to get special permits to go down the road, are only 8 feet wide. And that's why they're all so long and narrow, you know, up to 30 or even 36 feet long, but they're very narrow. That's what's in that book. That tumbleweed book was mm-hmm. one of the early ones with tiny houses on wheels. And
the first
there's thousands of models of that now, up to even shipping containers. People are making them out of, you know, shipping containers. And I think that's some of the worry of some of the people in town that are concerned about this, is not only what the small houses would look like, whether it would change the shape and the culture and the idea of the nature of the neighborhoods, but they're also concerned about what the density feels like and what that may or may not do to seasonal living and to short-term rental. People live here, we have a big seasonal community. There's people that only live here part of the year, and there's some concern that neighborhoods are dark because of that. Well, I don't think we can control that or would ever pretend mm-hmm. to try to control that. That is what it is. Some people don't want to live here in the winter, and they go to Florida or Texas or Arizona or wherever they go. More power to them, you know, if they can do that and they want to do that. But that means their house may be dark. Yesterday at this housing summit, we talked a little bit about shared housing. There may be people, I'm sure you guys experienced this already with your units, there may be people that would love to live in a place for just 9 months mm-hmm. when somebody's gone. They say, well, yeah, I know I can't live there in the summer. I'll go live with Great Aunt Sue in mm-hmm. inland during the summer at high season, and then I'll come back and live in somebody else's house during the year and thereby take care of it, keep it warm, mm-hmm. keep it from flooding, you know, all of those variety of things, keep the snow off it. So there's cooperative ways to do all of this stuff. I'm not one that worries too much about neighborhoods going dark because of seasonal living. That's just mm-hmm. the way it is. That's just what it is.
Can I just comment on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, please.
I know in Florida what they did is, especially the utilities, but in a lot of different ways, they put in place, because the problem is you have someone who comes and then they turn off all their mm-hmm. utilities when they're gone, mm-hmm. and the rest of us are carrying the financial responsibility of the upkeep of lines and mm-hmm. underground or air or whatever, and they made huge fees for turning on and off. And I know that's difficult cool. on a lot of... Yeah.
I like fees.
It was huge. I mean, I think in Florida it was like...
$500
$300, $500 to turn your electric back on and off. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's in place here, but it's just those kinds of things are something to think about.
Yeah. So they did that. So they actually disconnected rather than just turning everything off. Rather than turning the breaker on the outside of the house, they pull yeah. the plug it.
Well, because then they wouldn't pay.
Yeah.
If you throw the breaker, you're still paying the monthly fee.
You're still paying the monthly fee.
Right. Right.
For upkeep. And that, you know, roads.
Well, I know a certain amount of what we do here, only because I'm working with I'm volunteering with a group that is redoing a house, as many of you know, and the house has no water and very little electricity right now, but it has no water and no wastewater. There's no pipes, so mm-hmm. there's no systems running there. However, we still pay the wastewater. Mm-hmm. We still pay the wastewater charge mm-hmm. for the pipes are in the ground and the ability to connect at some point in time, even though there's no water running through it. So to some extent we do, but it's certainly worth investigating. Now, power is not city. You know, that's main power. Water is not city. Mm-hmm. That's
Main water.
The reason I brought up affordability is that because we see the rentals, we do the low-end rentals that we do, mm-hmm. meaning cheap, you know, not bad places, but inexpensive, is people are getting priced right out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to end up, I mean, I hate to say it, like Aspen or someplace like that, where we have to build auxiliary housing for our workers, because people who work at Dunkin' Donuts or at Hannaford's or at, you know, can't afford to live in town. So affordability to me is a huge thing, and that kind of plays into everything.
Well,
whether you're building a house or we're talking about.
And I think that's one of the reasons that Allie was wanting to get involved in this group as well. When she first moved here, she had a lot of trouble finding a place to rent, period. Mm-hmm.
Life Allie wanted.
Yeah. And full disclosure, she's my neighbor. She lives right next door. So. But I was going to say something about Marcel. Oh, the lots and the available lots that you had mentioned, that the map that John mm-hmm. had and all that. We don't have a whole lot. We don't have a great deal. And part of it is,
and listening to your presentation before about the amount of density that Rockland has currently mm-hmm. compared to other communities in our area, and the number of people versus the amount of pure just land in mm-hmm. Rockland that's not lands or quarry. Mm-hmm. We as a community are land.
Poor.
Deprived, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. And so I understand wanting urban density downtown, and I think that's a really good thing, but I don't think it needs to be limited just to downtown. Mm-hmm. I think when you start looking at the entire town of Rockland and how big it is,
sure.
it's really small. So mm-hmm. why are we making such big steps to separate Old County Road from down, you know, it's like, I can walk back and forth from my house.
I don't know where they are. I mean, that'll be a recommendation from this committee, is certainly not to deal just with the historic zone or the zone downtown, or we're not going to stop at Broadway, I don't think, or Union, mm-hmm. or any of those.
A lot of the density issues that we've seen, at least we're in the south end,
in
the south end of Rockland, is that houses that used to be two or three or even four apartments have been purchased by people who have the wealth or means to be able to make that a single family.
Go back to single.
Right.
And so we have lost a huge, in our neighborhood, we have probably a quarter of the population we used to have in the South.
And that's only going to get, my whole entire income is people moving here, mm-hmm. wanting to live here because it's a wonderful place, and buying places, paying me to design them and fix them up. So I know this.
From a multiple family to
not usually. Usually the stuff I'm doing is single family to single family.
Yeah.
But I worked in Boston for years, mm-hmm. you know, in Beacon Hill and Back Bay with all those units. And every single project we did there was take five units, turn into one brownstone, mm-hmm. single family dwelling.
Yeah.
And year after year after year. And it was mm-hmm. just, you know, every project you do, you're losing four, mm-hmm. five units. And Rockland's going to be in the same
the boat. Lot size.
Yes. Wearing my other hat, friends of Penobscot Bay, and that mm-hmm. is that something Allie brought up, touched on, and that is, we've been tracking the amount of transition from forest and mm-hmm. open land, indeed, to impervious surface. And you might consider each mm-hmm. new house to be just that and all that. That
right.
The planners I know on the county level are interested in keeping track of how much is disappearing at a time, because mm-hmm. it's been like, what was it, lost 23% of the forest since, well, that was between 92 and 2011, but, you know, a 45% increase in the rate of development has been mm-hmm. going on. And so, there's lots of room to grow, but certainly inside the city.
For us, I think it's fortunate and unfortunate, depending upon which way you look at it, that we do have a lot of territory that's wetlands, that's mm-hmm. the bog, that's parkland, already designated parkland, mm-hmm. all those things, and of course we would not dream of approaching those, even if we could build on them. I don't think we'd dream of approaching
them. So it's kind of like approaching the city as a set of watersheds as well.
I think we would all agree to hang on to those. None of us want to put housing units in the middle of the park.
So are we talking, we're talking about smaller houses or accessory dwellings. Are we also talking about multiple units? connected?
We certainly can. We can broaden it and talk about that.
I would think so.
We love duplexes.
It's an easier argument.
Yeah.
Duplexes are a wonderful way to keep it kind of almost like they're still houses, but you get two units.
Well, and if you go to three or more, it's a debt.
But right now, 10,000 square feet of property to be able to put it to. That's a big lot.
Yeah.
So that's another lot issue. If we wanted to build duplexes, we'd want to recommend a smaller